nursing at University of Alabama, and in fact, I teach Friday morning pharmacology. So, you guys are much more awake, I'm sure, than my Friday morning pharmacology group is. So I'm going to talk this morning about how old women are when they have their first sexual intercourse, and that's what age at sexual debut is. We're going to talk a little bit about how rural, suburban, and urban living may or may not change that age, and we'll talk about some other factors as well. So I need to tell you, of course, that does this advance it here?
It should. It doesn't. Scroll down with that. Is it doing it or not?
No. Oh, so I do have to tell you the financial disclosure that, you know, before the last month or so, I might have had some financial financial connections to something, but not so anymore, nor do many of the rest of us have many financial associations. In any event, we're going to talk about early sexual debut and age at sexual debut and how that's associated with other health risk behaviors. We know in finding through the literature that age at sexual debut is probably the strongest predictor of later sexual risk behaviors. And that's important because those sexual risk behaviors are things like not using condoms at intercourse. That puts adolescents at higher risk not only for early childbearing, but for possibly the resultant loss of educational experiences, as well as HIV, AIDS, and other STDs. So it can also result in later infertility. Female gender is also associated with actually being older at sexual debut, and that's as opposed to males. So when we look at the literature, we find a lot of different things. And if we look at the Youth Risk Behavior Survey of 2007, the Youth Risk Behavior Survey is a survey that's given nationally every 2 years, and it is a cluster design. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in 2007, as in 2005 and 2003, there were about 15,000 individual adolescents who answered these questions. And so we found that in 2007, of females who reported, and they give this survey in grades 9 through 12, 46% had had intercourse, 46% of females in grades 9 through 12. Of that 46%, 4% had intercourse before age 13. The survey does not ask whether that was voluntary intercourse or not, so we're not exactly sure what that number means, but still it's concerning that at age 13, some individual females are having intercourse. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they really are not able to make some of the decisions and ask for condom use, etc. 12% of those who've had intercourse have had four or more partners, and 55% did use a condom, which means that 45% did not use a condom at last intercourse. So there really aren't a lot of studies that look at the relationship between female gender and age at sexual debut. We find a lot of literature that talks about age at sexual debut as a secondary outcome, but not as the primary outcome. So what I did with my research was to look at age at sexual debut as my primary dependent variable. Also, the studies generally don't address how this relationship might be different between urban, rural, and suburban females. We do find studies from urban areas, we find studies from rural areas, but we rarely find studies that compare those people in the same research. So the purpose is that studies investigating the effects of gender may give us a better understanding of some of the other factors that affect age at sexual debut. And actually, now I'm presenting my findings on the female part of this model that I did. But I have a poster this afternoon that talks about the male outcomes in the same model. So if you have time, you should stop by this afternoon and you can see the other half of my study. So this study then is investigating the relationship between some factors that we'll look at and how those factors affect age at sexual debut. And some of those factors are female gender, location of residence. So I have a couple of research questions. In the overall study, there were a couple more, but for today, we'll talk about what is the relationship between being female and age at sexual debut among those rural, suburban, and urban adolescents. And additionally, we'll talk about what's the relationship between risk factors, protective factors, and health risk behaviors, and age at sexual debut. And before I forget, I just wanted to let you know, I did put a copy of these slides and a copy of the abstract on the back table, so if you're interested, it has my contact information on it as well. So this is the concept map that I looked at for age at sexual debut. And you'll see in the middle, then, is my dependent variable, my outcome variable, age at sexual debut. So we're going to look at how does location of residence affect this. Some of the other things I looked at in my larger study was how does location of residence affect protective factors or risk factors or even these health risk behaviors. The other thing I'll talk a little bit about some of these protective factors, but what I chose from the YRBS survey were questions that got to the issue of school involvement, high intelligence, safe schools as protective factors, and then as risk factors, depression, models for health risk behaviors. In other words, what are other peers that you're with doing? And then opportunities for participation. In other words, can I buy cigarettes? Can I get alcohol? Can I buy drugs? And then health risk behaviors. And I looked at current use of illicit drugs, current alcohol use, current tobacco use, looked at sexual behaviors, violence, and weapon carrying. And the violence is actually involved in violence rather than witnessing violence. And that some other studies look at both or look at one or the other. This just looks at being involved in because that's what the questions were in the tool. So the sample, this is a secondary data analysis of the Youth Risk Behavior Survey of 2003. I mentioned that it's a nationally representative survey. It's a cluster design. They take primary service units, and from the primary service units, then they randomly select certain high schools, and from the random selection of high schools, then they select random classes. It has to be a required class, has to be an intact class, because you want to hit as many as you can, and you don't want the bias of somebody voluntarily taking health or voluntarily taking some other subject, so they have to be required, like English or social studies. The students answer this in an anonymous and voluntary way, and they do have to get parental permission, and it varies from school to school. Some schools actually require written consent from parents, and others don't. So of the 15,000 adolescents who answered that survey, I took out only the sexually active female students. So we're looking at a little over 3,000 individuals. And you can see that about 15% of those students were from rural areas, and then the rest were fairly evenly divided between urban and suburban areas. So this is a non-experimental descriptive cross-sectional design, and I did a regression in SAS. Interestingly enough, when I did my dissertation, because this had come out in an SPSS product, I did my original data analysis in SPSS, very different from my SAS analysis, amazingly so. I see somebody shaking her head. I have. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing for the last year, is figuring out how to use SAS in Sudan, which was not easy, but I'm an expert now. Well, not an expert, but I know a lot more than a lot of other nurses. That my overall model conclusion is that once we regress the age at sexual debut on the risk factors, protective factors, health risk behaviors, and location of residence, this accounted for 11% of the variance, and it was significant. The male model is 21% of the variance. So when we look at location of residence, interestingly enough, in both SPSS and SAS Sudan, the location of residence actually is not statistically significant. Urban, suburban, urban-rural, and then suburban-rural aren't, they're not different, and it's really only from this 14 and a half to 14 and three quarters is only about 3 months difference for age at sexual debut. So location of residence really didn't make a difference. Therefore, we'll have to look at some other things. So if we look at the other factors, those protective factors, those were high intelligence, safe schools, and being involved in school, and there were no factors that were statistically significant. And when I looked at risk factors in the overall model, depression, models for health risk behavior and opportunities to be involved in those, there also were no factors that were statistically significant. So in this analysis, the model where in the literature we find that protective factors and risk factors do make a difference, in this model it did not. And it might be the questions that I chose to look at the model with. What we did find was health risk behaviors were significantly associated, and so those were sexual risk behaviors, current alcohol use, current tobacco use, current violence, and weapon carrying. What we did not find was the illicit drug use, and that's because it just barely was the other side of the point, 0.5. So we'll look at current tobacco use first. If the student, female adolescent, does not use tobacco, they're older at sexual debut, and if using, they're younger. The two together are associated. This is about half a year. It's about 6 months. It did have a P of 0.01. We look at sexual risk behaviors, and you can see that there's almost a year difference here. So this is the one that we can say which came first, the chicken or the egg, because you have to be sexually active to have sexual risk behaviors. So we find that those who were younger end up doing more sexual risk. Well, they don't do more sexual risk behaviors. The two are associated. Alcohol use doesn't look a lot different, but it does come out with a p-value that's significant. So those who use alcohol were younger at sexual debut than those who were not. When we look at weapon carrying and violence, we find the same. If there's weapon carrying or violence, there's a younger age at sexual debut. And here for weapon carrying, it's a year difference. And if you look in the overall model at some of the urban, rural, and suburban numbers, this one on weapon carrying and on violence becomes much larger in the urban than it does in the rural. But that's not what this one particularly looks at. So the implications are, you know, the adolescents really deserve interventions that are aimed at changing their behaviors and bringing them in line with our Healthy People 2010 imperatives and goals. It's possible that if interventions are designed correctly, we might be able to increase the percent of teens who abstain from sex, or at least increase the number of teens who use condoms at their intercourse. So if we support policies and interventions to decrease those health risk behaviors, we may end up with a later age overall at sexual debut, at least in females. So for future research, this YRBS is in public schools. It does not include adolescents who are at high risk. Those would be adolescents at alternative schools or who don't attend school or who are incarcerated. Additionally, we need to do some transitional research, to see if actually programs that are designed to support those health risk, decreasing those health risk behaviors, whether or not that does make a difference. Limitations, self-report, were the adolescents truthful? What was their recall? Were their answers based on social desirability, which means that if my peers all smoke cigarettes, I'm going to say I smoke cigarettes. What was confidentiality part of it? I think the definition of penis and vagina as sexual debut really probably misses a lot of things, because for some of these students, their sexual debut really is an anal sexual debut with or without condoms, and we know that an anal sexual debut without condoms is easily as risky as vaginal, probably more so. I did mention alternative schools were not sampled, and this one-time administration just misses those truant from school who are probably at higher risk. So I thank you very much for listening. I would like to say thank you to Dr. Linda Knoll, who helped me with the SAS Sudan and the analysis of these things. So I have time for, I think, one question, if anyone has one. Yes?
Did you look at the multicommunality between the variables, like the tobacco use and alcohol use?
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to hear you.
Look at the correlation between your independent variables.
Mm-hmm. Did I look at the correlation between the independent variables?
Yeah.
Not for this study, because I did a regression in the SPSS I did, but I need to go back and do a correlation in SAS and Sudan, and I've not done that yet.
If one variable is highly multicollinear with another variable, you know, you can take out one of them and other can be more predictive.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.